Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. We have good news tonight and good news. The good news is, we're going to look at the scripture. The good news is, before 7 o'clock, I guarantee you. You say, that's impossible. No. He's got it set right here. All right, let's stand, please. Romans chapter 12, we'll look at verse 9 first. We're going to read a small section just for flow. For you that like to memorize and meditate and spend time thinking about text, this is Paul's, I'm going to call it this, this is his Sermon on the Mount. Starting in, that was not 30 minutes. You know, 30 seconds. Pachungai did that? They both owe me now. Oh, my goodness. Let's try it again. This is the Sermon on the Mount for Paul. And I want to say this to you. This is a very practical, positive section. But it deals with different issues. It's very practical. You'd have to spend a lot of time, or a pastor would spend a lot of time working through text by text. Look what he says, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Which, by the way, if you read the King James, chances are you don't know what dissimulation means. That's not a real common word. Now, if you read British writers from the 1600s, you'll know. You're playing games. You're trying to fool people. You're playing the hypocrite. But dissimulation? So he's saying, folks, look at me. When you say to somebody, I love you, or if you love somebody, actually love them. Don't play games. You know, praying for you. Love you. Knife in the back. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Most of you will recognize these tend to be in trios. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I would say 10b is one of the most difficult texts in all of the scripture. In honor preferring one another. I mean, it's just not part of our culture. Verse 11, not slothful in business. Fervent. Now, business there is not referring, by the way, to business. It's talking about your life and your work. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Our text will be verse 13 and verse 15. I tend to think verse 14 is the same, but it doesn't state it the same way. Tonight's sermon is going to be this double duty. There are two doubles, and it's very difficult for some of us to do one thing. Let me ask you, ladies, when you ask your husband to do something, does he generally forget if you ask more? If you ask him to do three things, what are the chances of all three of them getting done? Go ahead, confess, Judah. Confess. By the way, if my wife asks me to do three things, there's a good chance none of them will get done. You say, why? The Lord is going to require two things of us. We've already talked about the one, nothing big. But look at me. It's like trying to use both hands at the same time? You know, there's something that it's hard. So let's look at the first one. You know it. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. The other one is given to hospitality. That is the first double. And they're two kind of different ideas. And by the way, tonight I'm just going to introduce these ideas. I think verse 14 is a double also by implication, but it's not stated that way. The Bible says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. It is assuming that you would bless people that you love and care for. You know, so look up here. We're going to talk about it in two different ways. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about this just to try to give you an illustration. But I think the one wing is just assume that you're going to bless and desire God's blessings on people that love you. Whereas the hard part is blessing people who don't love you. Then we have the next double that's stated that way. We talked about it this morning. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessings now on this hour. Bless our time together, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. By the way, there's all kinds of people in this room. Some of us are very good at task. Some of us are not very good at task. Some of us are good at task if it's like this, A, B, C, D. Some people can do A, B, C, D and 12 other things at the same time. Please do me a favor. Come into the office sometime. I'll stick you in an office where you have to do 12 things at the same time and you'll know real quickly if you're good at something. Some people are capable of doing this. For me, not so much. Twice it happened this morning, right after church. I'd like to blame it on my wife, but you can't. It's not a good thing to blame it on your wife. So I'm going to blame it on my daughter instead. We were going to Emily's to pick up lunch. Went out to the car, Jenny and I did, got in the car. I don't know why my wife wanted to, because she usually doesn't, but she wanted to talk today. So we started talking. So we're going to Emily. Now, we didn't get all the way home. Don't get ahead in the story. But what happened? We do fine getting to Emily's if we're not talking. But if you start talking, what do? You just go into going home. So I pulled out. I went down this road, and I was about to take a left. And I remember saying to Jenny, Jenny, aren't we going to Emily's? What are we going this way for when Emily's is over that way? Well, I wish that was the worst thing. Week and a half ago, I received my new credit cards. Not different credit cards. You know, you have to get them, whatever, re-upped every couple of years or whatever. So I got my new credit cards. I had them for 2 or 3 weeks. I knew sooner or later I had to, what do you call that? Activate them. And by the way, these are fancy kind. These are the kind that you can swipe, you can stick in, or you can... Well, it says wave. Does that mean tap? By the way, it really makes a difference, doesn't it? So I thought, well, I'll get around to it. So finally last week, I got my wallet. I had these two credit cards. I put my wallet on my bed. And in the morning, one morning, I put these two credit cards and I got them activated. Put them back in my wallet, left it on the bed. Did a bunch of stuff. I read in the morning, study and stuff. Went back into the into my bedroom, grabbed my clothes, took my phone, put it in the proper place in the coat, had my glasses in the proper place, put my wallet in the proper place. But there's a problem. Out of 365 days, my keys, my wallet, and I have stuff that I put on my chap lips, those things go together. Well, there was a problem. They weren't together. The wallet was by itself, and these were in the pockets of another pants. The keys were in the pockets of the other pants, but the wallet was gone because I'd pulled it out. Well, I got dressed, put everything together, and do you guys do this? You kind of feel, you know? I felt for my phone. I had my phone. Felt for my wallet. Didn't feel for my keys. And, of course, this is the day that my wife is gone. Out of town. Correct? Were you overseeing your mother? You were gone someplace. Gone. I'm not talking about here. Our neighbors weren't home. But it wasn't a problem at first. I walked downstairs. I'm very happy. Felt for my phone. Felt for my wallet. Everything was good. Walked outside. I had already opened the garage door. Walked outside. Locked the back door. Pulled the back door shut. Can I tell you something? It's very hard to do more than one thing. Most things we do, you do by what? Routine. You have habits. You don't think about those things, which allow you to do a lot of other things because you're not thinking about where your keys are. You say, how did you get... By the way, the garage door was open. My car was there. You say, will it start without keys? Yes, as long as the keys are in distance. but I can't drive it without keys. You say, what did you do? I thought back to my criminal days, and I broke in the back door. You say, how long did it take you to get in? Are you listening? Less than 30 seconds. That's scary in and of itself. And you say, why do you tell me that story? Please look at me, friends, not to entertain you. God has some things he wants. They're double duty things. They're inherently difficult to do. Now, please look at me. This is the whole sermon. They're not this. They're not, I got to choose this or I got to choose this, and they fight against each other. A way to visualize them is either parallel lines. I have to do this, I have to do this, and I have to do both of them at the same time. Now, they're not mean, they're not ugly, they're not weird, they're good things. But it's hard to keep both balls bouncing. And we have to, you can either look at them like this, or if you prefer, your arms open like this. You have to do this one, you have to do this one, and you have to move forward. Double duty. That's really what we're looking at. Verse 13. I'm not going to prove anything tonight, except I'm going to state this. Are you guys ready? The most misunderstood doctrine that is a simple doctrine in all of the Bible is the doctrine of hospitality. Most people think hospitality is being nice. But hospitality has a whole different angle. Someday we'll talk about this more. So Romans 12 is our first, however you want to visualize it. Two parallel lines. I got to do this. I got to do this. And friends, think of this. The word hospitality comes from two Greek words. You don't have to read Greek, but just trust me. It comes from the word phileo, or philia, which means love. And the word hospitality has the second word, xenos, which means stranger or other. So you and I, at the same time, same place, same person, I have one responsibility to make sure if there's any of the saints, God's people, we're making sure we take care of God's people. That's one. By the way, some people are very good at that. That's the easier one. Then there's another responsibility to those who are not saints, those who are strangers. Don't think weird. Think this. Someone outside us. We have two responsibilities. They come together. We must do them together. They don't come like this. It's like bouncing two balls. Sometimes one's easy to do. Some of us are horrible with strangers. I have written an entire sermon. I wrote the sermon 3 or 4 years ago on this subject. I'm not going to preach it tonight. I'm just going to say this. Please look at me. The difference between our continual success and failure is going to come down into one thing. I just talked to her in a roundabout way. Just talked with a guy. He's in a church. All the people are white folks, and they're all sleeping. And they're all about 75. Is there anything wrong with 75-year-olds? Yes. Yes, if they're sleeping. Understand, the church I pastored in St. Louis had the greatest group of seniors I've ever met because they got something. They were this group that got, they had never been taught it, that they just weren't hospitable, meaning I have my family over so I'm hospitable. No, that's having your family over. They understood this, embracing the stranger, the outsider, the other, the person that was different. So friends, you get into church, and our church could get there. Our church was there in 1996. Right now, I don't know where our church is. So if you look around here, I don't understand either. COVID has made us stupid. But hear me, I can build a church with 3 or 4 families. You put Rachel and Tony Cardenas in a group. You take this group over here, these two. You take these two right here and one other couple. You can build a church because of what? Look up here. Not because they're better than other people. They are people that get this, embracing the other. Some folks are good people. Actually, the church I'm thinking of, I bet everybody there is perfect. Perfectly asleep. Perfectly safe and perfectly comfortable. We have a responsibility. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, we have to take care of God's people if they're in need. And by the way, Lake County does that well. We have to also always have that love for the other, the person on the outside, the person that's different. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move on. Please look at me in the eyes. If you are the personality that you say, I'm too shy, look at me. You are the very person I'm speaking to, because you should understand what it feels like to be an outsider. And you don't want anybody to ever be an outsider or feel like an outsider. That doesn't mean you're creepy, and it really doesn't have anything to do with Sunday morning. When I pastored in St. Louis, we had a couple, Mary Beats. Mary Beats was a people magnet. She was a mature woman, still is, meaning a spiritually mature woman. And her husband was. And she was just a people magnet. When they moved, there was a whole, look at me, we had people that were probably as spiritual, but they were people that didn't get this arm. They were very good to certain people. They could draw that certain group in, but they were not good with the other group. Parallel activities. Parallel, or doing them at the same time. We have obligations to the saints. We have obligations to strangers. It's very important that we do it. Verse 15. Would you look there with me, please? This is the second double duty. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And of all the duties that I find Christians struggle with, by the way, hospitality is not a struggle. Hospitality is a choice. You choose whether you're going to drop your routines and, you know, all the things that make you angular, and you just obey God. The second double duty is difficult. For some of us, it's easy to be happy when something good happens to somebody. There are other people that are very good. If something happens, they can step up, they can weep, they can help, they can do. But boy, to do both of these. To me, rejoicing with those who rejoice is a beautiful habit. So look at me. Somebody gets a new home. What should your response be? No, your response is, why hadn't God given me a new home? They don't deserve it. You see, there ought to be something natural for us that we're always rejoicing with the good things in people's lives. Friends, we don't want to do any of what we call the one-upmanship, always trying to tell a better story. No, we should rejoice. And on the other hand, we not only rejoice, but as the text says, we weep with those who weep. Turn your Bibles to Job. Folks, I have been reading Job for the last month. I think I am getting twisted in the head, because I'm doing the thing that nobody does. I'm reading those stories. Job 11. I'm reading those dialogues. On Saturday, we'll all have an opportunity, because Gail has died. We'll have, some of us will have more opportunity than others, but we'll have some kind of an opportunity to do what? Weep with those who weep. It's the hardest thing we do. Many of us struggle, because weeping is not cool. Everything in America is celebrating. But the text says, no, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. When somebody has something good that happens, rejoice. You know, brag on it. Be happy for them. That's the normal process. This one's harder. Can I tell you what? Hey, have you read Zophar recently? Answer me the question. Have you read Zophar recently? Anybody? The answer is no. Mike has. By the way, it is some of the ugliest stuff I have ever read. Start in verse 1. Finally, Job quits talking. Zophar the Naamathite, and said, should not the multitudes of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Do you understand what he's saying about Job? You're full of air, Job. You're full of blather. Oh, look at me. Job has, you know, only lost his children, all of his livelihood. all the ways he made money, and little things like his health. But other than that, things are good. Well, he does have his wife still. He said, should thy lies, Job, make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, should no man make thee ashamed? By the way, if you're this kind of a counselor, please do me a favor. Shut up. Verse 4. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. Actually, he hadn't said that. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom. And this middle phrase is a little fuzzy. It says that they are double to thee, which to that which is. But the last line is one of the nastiest statements ever made to someone. Know therefore that God exacteth less than thine iniquity deserveth. Please look at me. Did you actually read that? So you go to a funeral, and the person's whatever happened, and you say, well, it could be worse. You don't really get what you deserved. You deserve more than that. Well, my question is, what else did Job have left? He had his wife, and he was still alive. Well, you know, it's no big deal. You lost all your children. Think about losing your whole family. Friends, please hear me. We have double duty. However you want to visualize it. Do you want to visualize it like this with arms wide open? I have a responsibility to the saints. I have a responsibility, and this is the weakness of many of us that have been in church a long time. We don't even know anybody outside. Did you hear that? We don't know anybody. We don't talk to them. That ought to be the group that we're most open to because we've been there. I've been there in high school. I've been there in life. It is weird to me, people that were the, what would you call them? The wallflowers in high school that walked around hugging the wall, didn't want anybody to look at them. You ought to be the very person that would never allow another person to feel outside. You ought to be the person doing this because you've been there. Those are our two parallel lines, or however you want to visualize, but they're not this. You don't say, well, I can't do that. Actually, anything God commands you to do, you can do. You might choose not to, but you can do it. Well, the second double duty is rejoicing with those who are rejoicing, that are rejoicing, that are blessed. And friend, if you don't know what to say, do this. Have a big smile. When somebody walks up to you and say, you wouldn't believe God allowed me to buy a new car, and it's the car you've been... By the way, if somebody can find a new car now, that's called a miracle. They got the car that you've been dreaming of, and you put... Smile, rejoice, be glad. When someone's weeping, my best counsel is this. Be silent, weep with them, hug them, love them, and I'll say one thing else and I'm done. On a Wednesday night, for all of you that weren't here, which... 75 to 80% of you were not here. I learned something on a Wednesday night in the last 2 months. For years, people deal with problems differently. When people suffer, I've always known there are two ways. Some people talk through their problems. They just got to talk. Do you think I'm one of them? No, I'm the one that thinks through my problems. I want to be alone. Some people want to be with people. That doesn't mean you have to talk. Let them talk. So, by the way, if you ever get me to talk about my problems, you're someone that I don't know. The only guy that ever gets a glimpse of that's Tim. And by the way, don't feel good for Tim because he doesn't give anybody a glimpse of him either. We tend to be people that think, yes, Tim, we think through what's going through life. There's a third category. Say, what are that group? Some people work through things. So when they have tragedy and trauma, what they do? They don't talk. They don't think. They get busy. And by the working through things, by the way, if you're going to weep with them, the first thing you have to do is what? What kind of a person are they? Are they a person that needs you to just sit there and be quiet and listen? They talk through things. Are they the kind of person that thinks through things and you better not hang? By the way, when I have difficulties, first thing I do is get alone. What about you? By the way, I'm not saying one of these are bad or one of these are good. I'm talking about people. How do you weep with somebody? You have to understand them. Some people talk through things. Some people think through things. And then there's a group that just works through things. I have an older sister. When I think she has a rough day, I think she cleans everything up in the whole county. It's just what she does. We probably have people in this room whose name will remain unmentioned. They work too much sometimes. I'm not going to mention any names, okay? They tend to work. By the way, I think that's how some people deal with problems. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm doing here, do you? All right. Let's stand. We're done.